Listening to AM 1300 WNQM Nashville.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Hi, this is One of Messiah Congregation, Kahal Chad BeMashiach. We are back again in the studio after 2 weeks of trying to do it a lot from our house. But anyway, I just thank God we could be here today. Today, I believe, is October 8th, and it's the 2007. But, of course, God has his own calendar, and it's the 25th day of Ethanim. And, of course, people always say, what are you talking about, Ethanim? That's, of course, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2. Sister Anne is here today.
Shalom, everyone.
You know, how does it feel, Anne? I mean, we just finished the Feast of Tabernacles, and we had all kinds of people come and visit us. How did that feel?
It was wonderful. We had brothers and sisters that we've been chatting online all these years. We finally saw them face-to-face, and what a blessing. I felt like I've known them for so long, and they really, truly do feel like family to me.
Amen. One lady just took off to a part of Florida. She drove away, and of course, some other people left the other day. And today, I took a couple of people to the bus stop, and yeah, you know, one of the brothers, he was saying to me, he goes, because this is the first time we ever met, you know, in person, and he said to me, he said, well, I thought we were going to meet just, you know, I didn't know what we were going to meet, you know, but we met nice people, and I said, well, the thing is, it's not just. You're not just meeting nice people, you're meeting real brothers and sisters in the Messiah. And he said, yeah, because it's so different, because, you know, people were really, you know, you can see they really care and they're really interested in you. But we had the Feast of Tabernacles, and, I mean, wait a second, does even people that are listening to us know what the Feast of Tabernacles is?
I hope so. It's a Feast of the Lord.
Feast of the Lord. Now, where does it say that? In the Bible, of course.
Leviticus 23.
Yeah, I mean, would you like to read that?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, all the time we're always telling people these are not the feasts of the Jews. We are one of, by the way, let me backtrack for a second. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Achad BeMashiach in Hebrew. We are Jews and Gentiles that come from a Hebrew Jewish perspective. And we have a website called oneinmessiah.net. That's oneinmessiah.net. You can call me anytime after the broadcast at 615-591-9820, 615-591-9820. And so what'd you find? The Feast of who?
Feast of the Lord. And it says in Leviticus 23, verse 33, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be in holy convocation. Ye shall do no civil work therein. In 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no civil work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's so strange when we were driving here today, you know, with these brothers and sisters, and we were looking around. We must have passed, I can't even tell you how many churches that probably haven't the slightest idea of what the Feast of Tabernacles is. They just think it's like, I don't even know if they heard of it, actually. They might think, they might say it's Jewish, you know. No, it's talking about the second coming of the Messiah.
Well, they might have missed something then when Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And praise the Lord, these feasts are all about Yeshua. They're all about Jesus and how he is fulfilling and fulfilled, even the ones in the spring, we know.
That's correct. You know, Matthew chapter 7, actually, Yeshua, Jesus, goes right to the Feast of Tabernacles.
Praise the Lord.
And I remember we read that, of course. And we read Nehemiah chapter 8 so many times. Now, we're telling you, everyone, that the Feast of Tabernacles is both in the, as you would call, the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's your terms. And you say to yourself, what in the world is that? Well, it's very important to know the Feast of the Lord, because the spring feasts tell you about the first coming of the Messiah, and the fall feasts tell you about the second coming of the Messiah. And what we feel is, wow, it didn't happen this year, but, I mean, we hope next year or whenever. It's going to happen in someone's lifetime. So a lot of people, you know, you need to maybe check this out. Now, I'm going to say another thing, which I know most this vicinity that of people that are listening to us, they probably don't know this either. we do something called the Rosh Chodesh, you know? And we'll get back to the Feast of Tabernacles in a moment. In other words, on the 12th of October, at evening, in the evening of the 12th, the moon will be 2%, and we don't worship the moon. But this, the reason why I'm telling you is it starts the eighth month of God, and it's called Bul. Now, a lot of people might say, well, eighth month of God called Bul, where does it say that? And I tell people all the time, well, go to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. 1 Kings 6, 38. What we're trying to get across to everyone, God has his own feasts, his own calendar. I mean, it's right in the scriptures that you've been carrying around your whole life. They still don't teach it in Protestant churches. That's the shame of the whole matter. So this eighth month of God called Bul, and that word means it has sort of a sense of rain. And so, and you can see if you check Israel, it starts the rainy season, and the rainy season, I think even around here. I think last year at this time, wasn't it cold or cooler?
I think it was. I do remember.
It just seems really hot now.
It does.
And, you know, now, if you get a Jewish calendar, what's going to happen is a lot of people go to the websites and they copy these Jewish calendars, and it's going to say either Mar Heshbon or Heshbon on the Jewish calendar. That's made up. That's not in the Bible. We don't follow Judaism. We are Jews from the Bible, and we're the Israel of God. So we stick right with the scriptures. Praise the Lord. You know, so this Feast of Tabernacles that we just had, you know, it was the most very joyous thing that we did. And we built a sukkah in our backyard. What that means is we got a tent and we put the branches over it, which symbolize the Messiah. And Nehemiah, I think, does the same thing. That's who we were following. And some people don't know what a when you were reading before a holy convocation. So we tell people all the time the word holy convocation in Hebrew is a mikra kodesh. A mikra is a... There's one at the beginning of the feast and one at the end. And these are besides the weekly Sabbaths. So this is what the Seventh-day Adventists need to learn if you're listening today.
Amen.
There are Sabbaths besides the weekly Sabbaths. And a mikra means when you get together. It means when you have a sacred assembly, a holy assembly. And I know people don't know these words because you don't look it up. I think even if you use a Strong's Concordance, which, you know, they got some good things, but there's some words wrong. You have to sort of feel it out. If you look up the word holy convocation in the Strong's Concordance, you'll see it's a time of a sacred time to get together, a holy assembly. Go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say is that's very important. I mean, it's so funny. We must be very confused because if people don't know about the Feast of the Lord and the things that are in the Torah and the prophets and the writings, which is what we know as the Old Testament, if you don't know anything about that, this is going to be confusing. But how important is it for these to be signs to know who our God is? If we say our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what did they do but what God said to do? And, you know, I pray that in each one of us, our eyes will be open to the understanding of the whole Word of God, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen. You know, in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, I remember, I don't know what verse it was, but it says, after they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, the children of Israel, that they should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. There's a feast of the seventh month. And it's, you know, what's really a shame is just even driving here today and the other day, everyone's getting ready to do Halloween, which is ridiculous. And then this is October. In August, I noticed in the stores they were getting ready to do Christmas in August.
Shame.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of that? And then they don't know about the Feast of the Lord.
Well, those things aren't in the Word of God. So I think it's a very easy answer in my head that you wouldn't want to have anything to do with that. But I know, I mean, people are brought up in families and taught the wrong things. We have to be wise enough to come out of that and understand what is of God, and do I obtain that He is my God? He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but that's my God, so you have to know everything what He wants. You know, yeah. It's through the Word.
Amen. I mean, what you're saying is what I always tell everyone. Like it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things, Apostle Paul says. What's so complicated about that? And he says, hold fast to that which is good. So we prove everything. We don't just go, well, that sounded good, or, you know, I got a feeling about it. No, go look it up in the Bible.
Amen.
You know, the, and now we're after the feast, you know, we're at the point where if you read, proceed after chapter 8 of Nehemiah, you'll start reading chapter 9. And this starts talking about a reevaluation or of how your walk is with the Lord. Maybe you people need to repent and start fasting, or maybe you start thinking, wow, just if you just did the Feast of Tabernacles today, you know, this season, and before that you never heard of it, just think of all the things you maybe you never heard of, right? And that's why these people were rending their hearts and getting in sackcloth and ashes. And you know what I'm saying, all this, you know, I just thought of how many Christians even read Nehemiah.
Good question. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8, toward the last of it, I mean, first of all, they just found out they were to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, to dwell in booths, and they were told to be happy, but they were weeping and they were mourning over it because they hadn't had, it says in verse 17, that they, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And so they were mourning that. They didn't have the, there was a time where they didn't have the law to understand and know what to do.
Say that verse again.
The verse 17, yes. All of it is, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths,
right,
and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun.
Yeah, that's Joshua.
Joshua.
Okay.
Unto that day had not the children of Israel done so.
So we're talking like, what that's really saying is that's almost 1,000 years.
Wow.
From the time of Joshua to the time of Nehemiah.
Right, that they lacked the law to know what to do. That's just like us today. We didn't know what to do for many, many years. Like me, for me, 30 years.
You know, it's really weird is you think from the time of the Lord, because he was doing it in chapter 7 of John,
amen,
the Feast of Tabernacles, till today is probably almost 2,000 years. And nobody we know has done it.
Wow, yeah.
And you say to yourself, well, how does it keep getting forgotten? How does what happens? Well, what happens is so few of us know about it. When I say few, there's thousands and thousands of us around the world. But it seems like few when you look at all these churches here, especially in Tennessee. You got all these Protestant churches. They're all, you know, getting ready to do Halloween and the stupid pagan Christmas. And you say to yourself, well, why do we call Christmas pagan? Well, first of all, Yeshua, Jesus, wasn't born on December 25th. And also, if you look in any encyclopedia, you find it's the birth of Mithra, a sun god. I mean, you know, does that sound like it? Plus, we got the history of Christmas. If you want to know about the history of Christmas, I'll be glad to show it to you. You know, we meet every Saturday at the at 12 o'clock at the New Hope Community Church. New Hope Community Church, right in Brentwood, Tennessee. And every week we have somebody new coming, and we meet on the Sabbath, which is the fourth commandment. See, there's another thing that I believe, even on this at this time that we're speaking here on Sunday, Yom Rishon, the first day of the week, we talk about we had a wonderful Sabbath yesterday. And, you know, you can go all through the book of Acts, and you'll see everyone met on the Sabbath. And that's just another one of those things that has totally been erased by the Catholic Church. And we can show you that the Catholic Church admits they erased it. And if you go back to 325 with Constantine, and you know, and then later on 350 with the Catholic Church, and how the Roman Empire just took over, you'll see that it was the Catholic Church that erased the day. And then in the 1500s, after Martin Luther, who was a Catholic monk, found a few things wrong with the Catholic Church, he repackages Catholicism and starts the Protestant Reformation, and again they don't know about the Feast of the Lord or the Counter of God.
I pray that no one dismisses it. I mean, especially if you look in Genesis 2, and it tells about it from the very beginning. On the seventh day, God rested from all that he had done. And there's a huge sign to it. It says it's a sign to us, and concerning us, that when we keep it, it is a sign, because we know that no one right now is keeping it. No, I barely know anyone that's actually keeping the Sabbath.
You know, how many people do you know that keep the Ten Commandments?
Two. Online.
I shouldn't laugh, but I mean,
important is it? Yeah.
I went to this church one day and did a teaching at the Franklin Christian Church, and I asked over 100 people there. They were high school age, and I think one person knew where the Ten Commandments was in the Bible. One out of over 100 young people, and what does that tell you?
That is a huge shame, because the God that they say is their God, with his own words, it's his words, Jesus is the Word, he wrote this. We're not saying anything new. This is actually truth and through the Word.
Yeah, I mean, so. You know, Sister Anne, my wife, and everyone else at our congregation, sometimes the world tries to make us feel like we're telling them something strange, but we're reading it to you right out of your
Amen.
Bible
Amen.
That you're carrying. The only problem is you didn't read the Bible.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I met a person the other day, which was really sad. He never even read the Bible yet. I was thinking, well, when are you going to do it? And then there's some Christians out there, they haven't read the whole Bible yet, and they say they've been saved for 30 years. Well, when are you going to read the whole Bible?
Well, I pray they don't rely on man to tell them everything that's in there. They might have to see for themselves.
You know what? It's a problem. They follow people like this. I was reading the other day a website. Somebody sent me this information about John Hagee. I don't know if you ever heard of John Hagee. He's like the little guy. It looks like he seems like a nice guy. He looks like he forgot to fast. But, I mean, you know. anyway, I don't know if he fasts or not. I'm just kidding. But he's the kind of guy that's coming out with this dual covenant theory, which is totally ridiculous. It's actually satanic, about the Jews have their own way of getting saved, and the Christians have their own way of getting saved, and it's really annoying.
But there's one law, and there's one Jesus, and there's one God. I mean, everything is one, but yet how is it dual? I don't understand that.
John Hagee doesn't know the Bible. He knows his Protestant theology so well. You ever notice when he's praying, he goes, "Let's pray for Israel, and we're the church." Well, wait a minute. There's not two bodies, and who is the new covenant given to?
Israel.
But does John Hagee know that? Probably not. I doubt he knows that. If the new covenant was given to Israel, that means, to get the new covenant, you're going to have to join the Israel of God. And then you would probably know about the feast of the Lord. So what is Nehemiah doing now?
Well, after they were told that they shouldn't at all mourn during the Feast of Tabernacles, because it was a feast of the Lord, it was a very joyous occasion, and they were only doing that because they had just found out about it, that now they put in chapter 9, they're fasting after the Feast of Tabernacles, they're fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them, it says. And it was the 24th day of the 7th month, by the way. That's just the day after today, actually.
Yeah.
Or the day before.
Day before today, right.
And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. They repented. They did it. They reevaluated their life and where they were. And that is so important, you know. After the Feast of Tabernacles, they did. They fasted and repented, and because they realized they were missing it.
I think it's interesting that verse, you know, I was looking at verse 2. It says they confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers.
Wow. Knowing it was from what they had learned prior.
Yeah, because usually, you know, you things are hand down.
Yeah,
and, you know, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, when was it forgotten? I mean, we don't even know down the line going, backwards in our lives. When did they stop keeping the commandments? Well, you know what? That history of Christmas that we showed, I think it was like 2 Sabbaths ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really sad to find out that America is founded by these people called like Protestants and Puritans and all these people. They're just Protestants. In other words, they never even kept the Ten Commandments. And here you have, no wonder why there was a battle for Christmas. You know, Christmas was banned. Even with these people that don't keep the Ten Commandments, they banned it to a certain year. I think it was 1700s or something. And but nowadays, people just needed to populate this Gregorian calendar with feasts. They had no holidays. See, we don't want holidays. We want holy days of God.
Amen.
We want the feasts of the Lord that are in the Bible. None of the Puritans came over and did the feasts of the Lord. None of the Church of England did that. No one. Isn't that a shame? Our country was founded on basically paganism.
Right, they have nothing to do with God. And the pagan part of it, I don't know if people understand that, really. Paganism comes from, pagan, that word, is going to derive from something that's so opposite of the God that we love and know.
Of course.
That you wouldn't want to have any part of that at all. You wouldn't want to be associated with that at all. But unfortunately, people love to, I don't know, make their kids happy more than they want to make God happy, it seems
that
like.
That is true. We met
because
some...
these feasts, or these other type of feasts, has sure stuff
you,
to do
I'm
with...
I'm sure you remember this. We recently met some women at this church, and they even tell us the pastor is saying things that are unscriptural, and they say they have to brainwash their children every week. And, of course, the obvious question that comes to mind is, well, why do you keep bringing your kids there? And they say, well, excuses like, oh, my husband still wants to go there, or I'm not released yet. Did you ever hear something like that, released?
I never heard that before, but that's unfortunate because they're not doing the correct thing, which is to keep their kids out of that and themselves.
I said released. I said, why don't you just leave if you know the minister is telling you things that are unscriptural and your children are being brainwashed? What are you going there for? These are just Christian churches, too. That's what these parents are telling us. I have no idea why you keep taking your kids there. Now, we are One of Messiah congregation. I know this broadcast is probably not the usual broadcast you're hearing on this station. I'm sure you're hearing some little Southern gospel deal and, you know, somebody screaming and yelling at you or something. I don't know what they do. But, yeah, I know what we're telling you might sound a little strange. We would love for you to contact us anytime Saturday at 12 o'clock. Come to the New Hope Community Church right here in Brentwood, Tennessee. We have a room in the back. We're called One and Messiah Congregation. We come from a Jewish perspective. We come from reading the Bible. And guess what Bible we read in English? We read the King James Version in English.
Amen.
I know, but we're not pulling some strange Bible out of the woods. We're coming to you with the King James Version, which was the version that everyone used to read.
Amen.
Unfortunately, nowadays, the NIV, which is very poisonous, churches are reading. NIV is the New International Version. So what else do you have there with Nehemiah?
Well, I was going to point out that something very special was happening when they were finding out about the law again. I mean, they didn't have it for a long time. It says in verse 7 of chapter 8 that Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, and many of the Levites caused, and there's some other names here too, I'm just going to go right to the source, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly, it says, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I think that's very important too. I think people go to other places and to get sense or to understand, but they're not even, you know, if you don't have the King James, you're not going to get the actual text or manuscript, and you're going to get an error or a terrible version, actually, with words taken out. You know, there's no fasting. There's, you know, things are being taken out of that version or whatever, but yet they think it's easy to be understood, and then yet they're not going to get the true sense.
Well, you know, a lot of people, what they don't do, they read a verse where it says the Holy Spirit's going to teach you all things. Well, yeah, and it also says you're supposed to be subject yourself on the tutors and elders, people that might know a little more than you or that are older than you in the Lord, just like everyone did in the Bible. And the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there's safety.
Amen.
It isn't go go on a mountaintop all by yourself and get yourself a staff. So this is this Nehemiah is these chapters are great, aren't they?
They are, and they should be in perspective of where we are, what have happened to us. So I mean, I can really relate to this, and it just seems like I've seen this year. So I praise the Lord that I saw this, because I feel like, you know, other people, it is their first Feast of Tabernacles this year. I saw that too.
Right. And it's just like this chapter, right?
Wonderful. Absolutely. They just didn't know. Just like all the 1,000 years that they didn't know and didn't have the law. And they knew, by the way, it also, I can't find that verse right now, but it also said that they knew that's what was happening to Israel, why there were, you know, curses and plagues being done to the Israel, was because they didn't know it, they didn't have it.
That's, I think, chapter 8, where the king says, basically he says that he realized why all this wrath was coming upon them.
Yes.
I believe that was in chapter 8 at the end after they just were shocked. Anyway, this broadcast, you know, we did, of course, on the seventh month of God. We did the first day, we did the memorial of blowing the trumpets, which of course every church has heard. One day you're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. And I think every church should realize we did the Day of Atonement, but of course, course, that stands for you better be atoned every day of your life, because one day you're going to meet the Lord. And the reason why we did the Feast of Tabernacles recently, just last week, is because one day we want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. I mean, there's a reason for everything we're doing. It's right in the Bible.
Amen.
You can call me anytime after the broadcast at 615-591-9820, 615-591-9820, if you want to contact me. I'm Malachi. I'm the minister. Come and see us. Drop us a line. I mean, you could even send me a mail at P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. Address it to One in Messiah Congregation. That's O-N-E-I-N-M-E-S-S-I-A-H Congregation, P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. Or go to our website. That's oneinmessiah.net. oneinmessiah.net. There's 24-hour studies, readings, so many things there. You'll be busy, I'm telling you.
Praise the Lord. You know, I was going to mention that when I start to read this, it really puts into perspective how we should be seeing the Word. That it says in chapter Nehemiah, verse 13, and it's kind of given the rundown. Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 13, excuse me. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, good statutes, and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And I read that thinking, well, he never came down again on the mount and redid it. He came down once and did that, and it was through his own voice even to speak it. You know, praise the Lord that God is so perfect. I mean, the way we see God, we know he is. Why would he bring something down that would only apply to one group of people during one part of this century? It just wouldn't seem correct to me.
Right. I mean, it sounds like such a special thing.
He
made us known his holy Sabbath.
Amen.
I wonder what the Sabbath really means in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, he made us known. It made it known unto us his holy Sabbath. It sounds real special.
It does. It really does.
But you know what? Like we read in Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment, it says, the opening sentence says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy.
Mm-hmm.
How many people remember it?
Not too many. Not in this city anyways. But
right. Well, I think most cities are like the same. And also, I know no one remembers the Feast of... Nobody even heard of the Feast of the Lord.
Well, I pray that all our eyes are open to it, to understand the Word of God, to do what he says.
I mean, you know, when I really think of the reality of no one knows about the Feast of the Lord, that really... It just makes me feel like, oh, I wish I had a microphone that I could just yell it throughout the whole...
Amen, amen.
I mean, the Feast of the Lord. The Lord's coming back. And, you know, everything's happening in Israel and everything's happening around the world. Don't you want to know about the Feast of the Lord? Doesn't that make you curious?
Yeah, amen.
I mean, wouldn't you want to know about the calendar of God? Holy and profane, or, you know, clean and unclean.
Amen.
Don't you want to know these things?
Amen.
I see people all the time, they go... Well, we got Jesus, and that's enough. Well, how about doing what Jesus said? He did the Feast of Tabernacles. That's John chapter 7, right?
Amen.
I mean, how about Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen. And don't forget, he said, like I said in the very beginning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. Amen. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And praise the Lord. I mean, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And that's from Jesus' own words.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I just thank God we could be here today. You know, it just seems like we could be, I wish we could be on the radio more and more and more. You know, if you'd like to get behind us with prayers and fastings, finances, you can always send an offering to our congregation. Send it to P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. We are Jews that believe in the Messiah and Gentiles, but we don't even call anyone Gentiles anymore because we're the Israel of God.
Amen.
We all become the real, in the real sense of the word, a Jew, someone that has the Jewish Messiah. Yeshua, Jesus, is Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. The prophets were Jewish, right?
Amen.
We are One of Messiah congregation. Go to our website, oneofmessiah.net. That's oneinmessiah.net. Call me anytime, 615-591-9820. No, I just thank God we could be here. Join us on Saturday, 12 o'clock, New Hope Community Church, Brentwood, Tennessee. Tony, we have a wonderful time, don't we?
It's wonderful. The teaching is unbelievable, and you'll just want more, believe me.
That brother that came from Florida, he's 72 years old, David, he said he wished it never ended.
Praise the Lord.
And I thank God for Z for being here. That's the Gallon singer. And Carolyn from Florida also. And all the people that showed up. We are so thankful that you were with us. God bless you, and shalom.
This is WNQM, AM 1300, Nashville, Tennessee.